This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. It's halftime during the biggest game of your life. Your team has fallen behind, and the significance of this moment cannot be underestimated. Your pride, your personal relationships, a championship, and maybe a scholarship are all on the line. But spirits are low in the locker room until the coach steps in and says something like,
"We got to go out there and we got to take it.
Take control of this game.
It's your time.
This is our time.
This is your time.
You understand me?
Do you understand me?
Yes, coach.
We shut them down.
We do not back down ever.
That's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing.
Of course, winning a game is never as easy as Hollywood makes it sound, and good coaches invest less time in yelling than they do in strategy and real-world problem-solving. Craig Owens is an associate professor of English at Drake University and co-creator of a program that brings academics into the locker room, appropriately called Coaching in the Classroom. We asked him here as part of our week-long station-wide series on higher education, A Matter of Degrees. Craig, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Taylor.
So does that montage of movie speeches more or less represent what you thought coaching was all about before you actually stepped inside a locker room?
I'm not sure I would say that that's what I thought it was about, but that was certainly the dominant image in my mind, the dominant soundscape. So apart from those kinds of film clips and television clips, I didn't have a very clear idea of what actually went on in varsity locker rooms.
You were more of a theater kid growing up than you were a sports guy.
That's right, yeah.
So what changed? What brought you into the locker room in the first place?
I was invited to serve as something we call an honorary coach here by two of my students who were on the women's basketball team a few years ago. They were in my first year seminar. And so that meant that I would have the opportunity to sit with the team near the bench during the game and to listen in to their locker room chats before the game and during halftime. So that's when I first got my glimpse into what was actually going on in the varsity women's basketball locker room here at Drake.
And was that something of a revelation for you?
It was. I had experienced a number of the women on the team in the classroom, and I had found a number of them to be engaged and thoughtful students. One of them, in fact, who was on the team at that time, became a Rhodes Scholar from Drake. So,
oh, wow. You know,
really, really across the board represented a high caliber of student. And I guess I wasn't sure what to expect when I went into the locker room, but what I found was that a lot of what I hoped to achieve in my classroom was already taking place in the locker room. So on the one hand, it showed me why the students who I dealt with in the classroom who were on varsity teams seemed so well prepared. And on the other hand, it showed me what was possible to achieve in a learning situation, in a learning environment, that I didn't feel like I was quite achieving in my classrooms.
So let's get a little specific. Are we talking about a level of engagement, or are we talking about some sort of actual strategy that you brought into your curriculum as a professor of English?
Well, the first thing that I noticed, I think, was the level of engagement. In contrast to the clips that you played at the beginning of this segment, the players didn't really depend on the coach to be the person who provided inspiration, who provided dedication, who made collaboration a requirement. They were really much more self-directed, I think, than the players and coaches we often see in TV and film. They were able to take the lead in discussing what was an appropriate strategy given the team they were playing, how to respond to the way that team was playing, how to build on what they had already accomplished during part of the game, how to turn what they had been drilling on in practices into real-time play. And these insights were being generated, by and large, by the players in the locker room. So it wasn't a coach standing in front of them telling them what to do. It was the coach asking leading questions, guiding questions, getting them to think critically about the gameplay ahead. And I feel like that's a contrast, I think, to the image of the inspiring coach, but also in contrast to the image of the expert academic who stands before a class and sort of...
really just lectures at students.
Either lectures or takes a strong hand in getting students to think the way he or she thinks they ought to be thinking.
So let's look at a subject that you might teach, say a unit on Shakespeare. What would you be doing differently after having seen that coaching experience in a very technical way?
the system by which we go about reading Shakespeare, making sense of Shakespeare, writing about Shakespeare, critical interpretation, historical research, and so forth, are not at all natural. These are not dispositions and skills that they practice day in and day out.
No, I sort of find that academia often, it has its own language, it has its own expectations, and going in, you're in some ways expected to sort of pick up on those.
Yeah, almost by osmosis is
right.
The expectation. If you read enough literary criticism, you will get literary criticism somehow. If you read enough Shakespeare, somehow it's just going to dawn on you how to read Shakespeare.
So are you in some ways making a playbook?
So that's exactly what has to happen. At least this is what I learned needs to happen. And I learned it not from that moment in the locker room that I witnessed, but in an interaction I had with an anatomist in our biology department here who had been observing some football games and had noticed how productive and organized and well-run the football practices seemed to be. And when she asked one of the coaches, how is it that the students and the athletes on the field work so productively during practice time, he said, well, we spend a lot of time teaching them the system. And that's when a kind of light bulb went off for me. What is, in fact, the system that I take for granted, that's quite natural to me after years and years of being, you know, a graduate student, a professional academic? What is that system, and how do I make it visible to students? How do I show them how to ask interesting questions about a text, to look for patterns in the way a text represents particular ideas, patterns of metaphor, patterns of just words or phrases, the recurrence of particular characters? And to make that looking for patterns and that search for meaning in those patterns explicit, rather than, as I think I had been doing many times up until then, letting it remain implicit or just trusting my students somehow to pick up on the system and just to absorb it because they're in class, you know, with me for 3 hours a week for 15 weeks.
Well, let's get back to that sense of engagement that you also talked about. I mean, when I think about the difference between academics and athletics, it seems that one of the most obvious divides is a very clear sense of purpose. You know, a team wants to win. That is what they're aiming for. Students, the outcome is a little less black and white. Maybe you're going for grades. You're thinking about your career. It's sort of dispersed over a wider spectrum. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think for students, some of the outcomes in a classroom are quite clear. That is to say that they are working in a system with particular requirements that lead toward particular rewards, an advanced degree, a degree, grades, potentially a job. But that doesn't answer the question for them, why am I reading Shakespeare in order to get this, fulfill this requirement? Why am I writing one-act plays in order to fulfill this requirement? Why am I investigating autobiography or chemistry or any of a number of other topics typically taught in the arts and sciences? And so what we need to do is to get students to understand what's engaging, what's potentially rewarding about doing those particular things in pursuit of their larger goals.
So your program is designed, coaching in the classroom, that is designed to bring academics into the locker room and get a sense of some of these things that you're talking about. Now, do you see this as especially valuable for some disciplines over others?
I think the value is different depending on which discipline one is working in. And for instance, in the laboratory sciences, my sense is that the system is often made quite explicit, that you do have something like a practice and then performance style setup. The scientific method is fronted, it's repeated over and over again across courses in a discipline. On the other hand, in some of the humanities, where the systems by which we do things are sometimes more opaque, they differ from classroom to classroom, from teacher to teacher, discipline to discipline, it might be more important at the outset for an instructor to think in terms of basically building a playbook that lets students in on the methodological, theoretical, practical assumptions that we take for granted. So I think it could be valuable for almost any discipline.
Craig Owens is Associate Professor of English at Drake University, where he co-created the program Coaching in the Classroom. Craig, thanks for joining us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.